Imagine that we are at war, deployed near the front, an area scarred with craters and bunkers, barbed wire and gutted military vehicles. Something has happened here. Panicked Swedish soldiers are fleeing in disarray, away from their trenches towards some imaginary safety. No one wants to stay in the rain of bullets. No one wants to be ripped to shreds by bombshells. Hardly anyone dares to stay in their trenches. Those who remain cannot offer any meaningful resistance. The army is in full retreat, the enemy winning ever more territory. All authority is gone. Only the enemy seems to have set a plan, executed by a single-minded and skillful leader. On our side, all organization has collapsed. Some divisions continue the battle by themselves, but are only a nuisance to the enemy and cannot stall his advance whatsoever. This is the situation we're in. Swedish men are fleeing in disarray. The enemy has the initiative. He can choose the time and place for every decisive battle. Our enemies are accomplished in psychological warfare. They are highly skilled when it comes to demoralizing our men who should be fighting at the front, as well as the rest of the population. The enemy's agents divide and conquer by stirring up class and gender struggle. They try to divert the people's attention from the battle at hand to more trivial and comfortable illusions. His agents spread all kinds of drugs among the people to weaken it even further. Through his agents, he spreads false and subversive ideas. He supports all kinds of superstition and misunderstandings. The enemy tells us that Sweden belongs to everyone, and that as long as we cease our resistance and surrender our evil prejudice and suspicions, everything will be fine. Everyone will live at peace with each other in a pleasant utopian democracy. He also tells us that the occupation is already an unchangeable fact. The aliens are here to stay. We all have to get accustomed to it. Sweden must learn to live and accept the new foreign society. Those who resist are depicted as evil Nazis, racists, and criminals. Organized religion is mobilized by our enemies to become a Trojan horse, eroding the people's sense of fellowship and community from within. Priests and bishops actively take a stand for the aliens, proclaiming that those who resist them are evil. Parliament is full of spineless snakes who grovel for their new foreign masters. The aliens rape Swedish women by the hundreds, the thousands. Swedish youngsters are stabbed on the streets of the major cities. The elderly are robbed and assaulted in cities as well as on the countryside. Our ancestors and our culture is mocked. All kinds of sick phenomena are aided by enemy propaganda. Both people and nature are exploited. Everything noble and honorable is trampled in the mud. The retreat has to be stopped. Resuming the battle is imperative. The fleeing men must be made to return to the trenches. The only question is how to make it happen. I have seen officers and soldiers who have themselves been victims of enemy disinformation, trying to stop the flight of the Swedish people using arguments and fine words. This has always failed. I have seen small groups of Swedish men who have tried to combat the enemy. I have seen them fight with bad tactics without any greater overarching strategy. I have seen some men fight simply for the sake of fighting, without a second thought as of what the consequences will be for them. Real idealists who are ready to sacrifice themselves for their people. In the heat of battle, we often forget that the overarching aim must be to achieve victory. Everything else has to be a subordinate to this. Our strategy and tactics must be adapted to the conditions of the battlefield. The enemy often spreads disinformation concerning our methods. He wants to stop us from using effective tactics at all costs. You can be sure that he has agents among us, officers who point their soldiers in the wrong directions. Soldiers who spread mean rumors and others who sabotage our effort in various ways. The methods are many, and so far they have been successful. As every officer knows, or should know, it makes no sense to try and stop your men from fleeing with a soft voice, nor using clever arguments to try and convince them to return to the trenches. No, rational and civilized arguments will only make them run past you. Most Swedes have been under the influence of the enemy's destructive propaganda since they were children. Immature and disloyal, they believe that their only sensible thing is to move as far away from the sound of battle as possible. With most of them, this egotistic side of their personality now unfortunately controls their actions. Some flee because they are cowards, others because they are confused, but most of them flee simply because everyone else is doing it. The fact is that most Swedish men, though they would not admit it in public, do support our cause. But they are demoralized, they lack leadership, they think the enemy has all the authority, that fighting is futile. No one has succeeded in putting their feelings into words, arguments, and actions. Yes, it's true that a few lowlives have changed sides and are more or less working actively for the enemy now, but these are the lowest and worst elements of our people. They are filthy rats who sided with the enemy either for personal gain or because they are severely confused or simply mad. These rats can seem to be better and greater in number than they actually are, because the enemy constantly depicts them as role models and leaders and celebrities in their propaganda. Everyone can see them on TV each day, made up and directed like puppets in a glittering, yet hideous and tragic display. Swedes have allowed themselves to be cradled into a sleep-like condition, forgetting that the reason why wars and colonizations happen has always been a people's need for more territory and resources, when their natural habitat has been exhausted. It is all well and good to appeal to the noble side in our troops. The brutal truth, however, is that the soldier must be kicked all the way back to their trenches, while they're being told that cowardice is the worst thing imaginable and that the struggle for our people's survival is all important. Officers need to bark and threaten, urge and appeal. Some of them need to set good examples, but only after they've won the trust of their men. A few of the deserters must be shot, or otherwise severely punished, not because it's the right thing to do, but because examples need to be made in order for the others to understand that cowardice can be just as costly as courage. To achieve this, a band of hardcore and realistic officers and soldiers need to be formed at some point during the retreat. People who in turn use carrot and stick to make a growing number of Swedish men join the ranks. But for this, we need discipline, ruthlessness, and authority built on strength.